ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the one who guides with his light whomsoever he wishes. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you all for joining us today on another edition of the program Muslim Family. I'm Fatima Shamali, the host of this program, and with us today is Dr. Abbas Ali Shamali, the regular expert of this program. Dr. Shamali holds an MA in developmental psychology and a PhD in culture and values and education from McGill University, Canada. He has studied and taught in the Islamic Seminary in Qom for more than 25 years, has had more than 12 years of experience regarding counseling issues, especially on family affairs, and at the time being, he is a staff member of Al-Mustafa International University. Dr. Shamali, salam alaikum and warm welcomes to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I've tried to make myself ready for new coming questions for this program.
Okay. So in the previous program, we talked about the role of the father in educating the child. Specifically, we're focusing on the responsibilities of the father in educating the child. And in the previous program, we talked about the naming, choosing a good name for the child, education, regardless of whether it's informal, formal, or subformal, and choosing a good spouse for the child, or helping him choose actually a good spouse. So we talked about choosing a name, and I don't know if there's anything you would like to add about educational aspect of the child. If not, we can move on to the third dimension.
You know, with regard to rights of children upon their fathers, interestingly, there are different narrations that I came across. Mm-hmm. Which talks about three main rights. It was very interesting. Three main rights of four children upon their parents. When you come and compare these different narrations, you come to realize that, oh my God, there are three pillars, mm-hmm. which provide three pillars in your personality. Number one, name. Number two, education with three different levels. And number four, training. You know, you may ask me that, Mr. Shamali, you talk about education. Education is not a big deal nowadays because it's mandatory, mm-hmm. obligatory. Whenever you, everywhere you go, mm-hmm. you know, they talk about A-12. What do you mean by A-12? It's a, you know, it's a paradigm in all countries. It's a global United Nations criteria for development in all countries that it's obligatory and mandatory to send your children for basic education. And mm-hmm. basic education means A-12, mm-hmm. you know, from daycare or
kindergarten.
Sorry, from kindergarten to
grade 12,
high school, grade 12 in high school. So if this is the case, so why you say this is the right of children upon their parents or upon their fathers? Whether they like or dislike, they have to send. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, police come to them and take their child and take it out. Mm-hmm. When we talk about education, we need to take into account three different types of education, mm-hmm. subformal, informal, and formal. You know, you may talk about formal education as mandatory, but with regard to subformal and informal, it's not. And this is the duty of dad and fathers to take care of religious, moral. And even Imam Sadiq salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi says, children have three rights upon their fathers. Choosing good mom for them, mm-hmm. because this is in Islam, this is you who decide to go for, you know, choosing different, visiting different families to choose your couple. Mm-hmm. So
choosing good mom, choosing good name, and being serious in education.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
not education. Being serious in education. So when you talk about this, you are not talking about formal education. Because formal education mainly, even if it includes extra curriculum,
mm-hmm.
you know that in all educational system, they have main curriculum and extra curriculum. You know, when you just study about main and extra curriculum, what is inside? What is the content? The whole content is socialization.
Mm-hmm.
To socialize, to educate people, students, to be able to be a good citizen.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Is it to be faithful? Is it really to be moral? Even by moral, they mean social norms.
Mm-hmm.
How to drive, you know, the rulings of traffic rulings, the rulings of neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all about socialization and social life. While in Islam, when you talk about education and training, it's not limited just to these types of social life.
Mm-hmm.
The main part of your life is individual life. If you are not individually educated and developed, then at the social level, you will have problem. Always you need someone to supervise you, to take care of you, to watch you. So, and interestingly, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a narration, someone came to him and said, "Could I know what are the rights of children upon me as a father?" Prophet said, "It's no difference to be male or female. They have their own," and mentioned three rights that I mentioned in previous sessions. And again, he added, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, "If your child is female, then one of her rights is to go and provide respect and honesty to her mom. You need to provide honesty and respect to her mom."
We have to go for the break, and then when we come back, I'll ask my question. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned.
Sky, searching for the Most High, he rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. Though with stones on his chest, his iman would not rest. The Mu'adhin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of a Muslim must be strong.
Dear advocates, welcome back. You are listening to another part of our discussion in today's Muslim family. Before the break, I said that I want to mention a question before we lose track of actually what we were talking about. You mentioned the right of education as one of the main rights of the child upon the parents. Now, as a psychologist, if, for example, you are living in the West and you have two choices, you have Islamic schools, which are very few, and then you have the public schools that is a mixture of different cultures and different religious backgrounds and all of that. Which one would you suggest to be better for a Muslim family to put their children in, or a public school or an Islamic school? And can you discuss the pros and cons of both, please?
You put me in a very challenging situation. Of course, as a Muslim psychologist, I would say absolutely Islamic school,
mm-hmm.
not public. But what do you mean by Islamic school? When you ask me this question, I remember a very interesting story from Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad says, I was on my spiritual journey, Mi'raj.
Mm-hmm.
ascendance toward heaven. So while we were ascending to different heavens, you know, the seven heavens, I was talking to my brother Gabriel. And I was asking him different questions. Then suddenly I came to the point that, oh, look, Gabriel, if you were me,
mm-hmm.
or if you were a human being, and were to come to live on the earth.
Planet Earth.
What was your best wishes there? What was your best dreams there?
Mm.
Suppose that you were giving chance to come to live on the earth. And Gabriel said, it's not the case for me because I'm angel, but if I were supposed to live on the earth, I would have two main dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, to give water to the thirsty people. To make...
quench the thirst of the thirsty one.
The thirsty people. And number two, whenever I go and I hear about your religion,
mm-hmm.
your teaching, your tradition, and your narration, wherever I go, I hear anything about you, your religion, I mean Islam, your tradition, prophetic tradition, your narrations, whatever related to you, linked to you,
mm-hmm.
immediately I would say salawat. Because salawat is a way of highlighting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teachings for the progress and spiritual development of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the seal of the prophets. So, Fatima, when you listen to this anecdote, narration, or story, what does come to your mind? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking with Gabriel, and he was talking about his dreams and the supposition that if you came to... And he said, it's not big deal to give water to thirsty and say salawat. There are many, many important jobs on the earth that you just stick with these two? Mm-hmm. What is this? But go deep. What do you mean by giving water to the thirsty? It's not just giving a cup or glass of water to someone who is thirsty. It's facilitating the arrival of water to someone who needs. When I talk about Islamic schooling,
mm-hmm.
that you mentioned, do you prefer to send your child to Islamic school or public school? I would say, what do you mean by Islamic school? If it's weak in terms of curriculum,
mm-hmm.
in terms of planning, in terms of program, absolutely it's not my preference. This is the duty of parents and policymakers and educationalists to come together as Muslim to establish a qualified competing schooling.
Mm-hmm.
Because your children are going to be the citizens of this society.
Yeah.
If they are not qualified enough, if they are not educated enough, so how could they live and compete?
Mm-hmm.
We live at the age of competition. This is exactly as the word of Gabriel. I would rather to deal with watering thirsty people. Does it mean that you give a glass of water to someone who is thirsty? This is the first example. The main example is that to facilitate the way of affording and offering water to everyone who needs. And here you need to use your knowledge, your technology, whatever. Like water system in a city. When you give water to a family, what do you mean? You give water. You pay their bills, their water bills? No. You help them to have water available at their home. In in Muslim schools or Islamic schools, you need to qualify, to elevate the level of qualification of schools in a way that parents and families are willing
to send their children to
have enough
Islamic
motivation.
Schools.
So I would rather Islamic schools, and this is a duty, particularly for the minorities in Western countries, in other. You know, don't send your children to public schools. They will intake, and they are not your next generation in a close time. You will lose them. So you need to plan to have your program to establish qualified, well-planned Muslim schools, Islamic schools. In those schools, you have normal curriculum plus
Islamic ones.
Islamic one. Then you are educating people who are able to compete, who are able to come to the top. This is my dream, my answer. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, process of education must be taken serious. As a serious job. Not as something that additional. If you could, you do it. If you are not, so you do your job. You go for your job. You put your time for other serious thing. The most important, serious and important job for dads, for fathers, is to be serious with regard to education in its three meanings, formal, subformal, and informal. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, education is like a river. It's a current running. It's much, much better to educate your children in a right path, in a right way, than to give each and every day a couple kilos of wheat as alms. Even you are so dedicated in Islam that each and every day you give alms. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's much, much better to take care of child education than to give every day.
Yeah, because this is a continuous thing, education.
And Amirul Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi said, education is the main gift that a parent could afford to their children. Even if you buy different gifts, none of them could come to the level of providing
good
and affording
education.
Gift.
Okay, at this point, we're going to pause for a few seconds, and then inshallah, we will join you, dear listeners, after the break. Please stay tuned.
Muslim family.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked, how can we share what's not enough? She said the heart of a Muslim's filled with love. He said it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow, that some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright, for the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, welcome back. This is the third and the final part of our discussion in today's Muslim family. Before the break, we were talking about the importance of education and the fact of taking it seriously with regards to the responsibility of the fathers, which is actually the core one in this regard. Okay, Dr. Shamli, is there anything more that you would like to add?
Just
to
one tiny point. Okay. Whenever I was talking about right of education for children upon their fathers, immediately you may come up to the idea that, yeah, this is the duty of dads for their male children.
Mm-hmm.
Boys. No. Whether male or female. Boys or girls. This is the duty and responsibility of fathers to take care of their children's education. Of course, it's not possible not to have your wife as a collaborator, as a helper, to provide a qualified mm-hmm. education. But it's not the responsibility of mothers with regard to education, unless moms are widow.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, they had.
Replace the father.
Okay. There is a prophetic narration that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam just particularly puts the finger on girls.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a girl, if you have a daughter, you need to be careful for her education, for her teaching, different knowledges that she may need in future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that talking about education, even formal, Prophet Muhammad advises about female education, all they need, not just religious one, not just moral one, all knowledges, disciplines that they may need in future. If you do, then this education and this gift for your female child, for your daughter, will be something to protect you from hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
And then with regard to rights of children, after good name, teaching, education in different ways, serious training, it is emphasized on the importance of affording gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Although you as a father are responsible for...
Dr. Shamli, before we come into this subject, I know because we're going to fall far from it and then it won't make sense to mention it. You mentioned that one of the other rights of the child on the father, or the where the core responsibility is with the father, is that he chooses a good wife for his son, right? I just wanted to make the point that, it seems that it's a chain of a chain of deeds that fathers throughout the history should do for their children. Because we said one of the rights of the child on his father is that the father chooses a good mother for the son. So, for example, when you teach your son how to choose a wife and whose house to go to, because I think this goes back, we talked about the importance and the criteria of choosing a good spouse for your child, yeah. Right? So it says, like, for example, son, I have more experience than you. Family is really important. Religious background is a main issue. Level of education, social mm-hmm. level, and all of those things. So the father, so again, it goes back to the culture of obedience or the culture of thankfulness that the child should actually listen to the father mm-hmm. or at least take advices from his father. And then on the other hand, this is a chain of responsibilities that should continue. So if you help your son, if your father helped you choose a good wife and gave you guidelines, you're going to pass it on to your son. And then your son's going to pass it on to his son. So in this way, we're going to have a chain of healthy marriages.
Exactly.
Which is actually the root of formation of a good Islamic society, because everything starts from family, right? So for example, if we say that, okay, I provided enough education for my children and they have good jobs and all of what I could, but I don't care who they get married to. It's their life, their choice. Of course it's their life, but what about the advices that they could use from your experience and from your married life?
Exactly.
So these would create foundations for a prosperous, truly Muslim family.
Exactly. This is like a net. Mm-hmm. Islamic education is a net. It's intermingled, interrelated to one another. Even some future jobs, some future responsibilities, some future duties and rights is due to your choice of, couple,
mm-hmm.
the marriage.
Spouse, right.
So in terms of spouse, it is very emphasized by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should not leave your children. And you say that, yeah, they are mature enough, alhamdulillah, they are independent, educated. Yeah. Again, still, you need to help them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take care. although they may not accept, but you do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You do your job. You do your what you feel that it's your duty and your responsibility. You afford your advices. So, as you mentioned to me, being careful, because it's not just for your son, for your daughter. You need to be careful not to make her for a long, long time to be educated, to finish the, you know, formal education, to get the BA, then MA, then PhD, then come to a job. You know, it's not excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's your duty to enable, to facilitate the way for your daughter to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind male or female. For both of them, you know, parents, particularly dads, have the responsibility to motivate them, to encourage them,
mm-hmm.
to inform them, to enable them. Okay, because help could have different meanings. And then we come to, when we finish this main pillar rights, we come to peripheries. There are some rights that we call them tiny with great impact.
Mm-hmm.
For example, although dads and fathers are responsible with regard to financial support and affording the sustenance expenditures, so as well as this, it would be better for dads and fathers to provide gifts, particularly mm-hmm. on Friday. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, whenever you go home on Fridays, take some new coming to the market fruits
mm-hmm.
for your family and make them happy. Then they will have a good image with regard to, oh my God, each and every Friday we will have our dad coming with full hands of fruits, new fruits, fresh fruits. أطرفوا أهاليكم في كل جمعة بشيء من الفاكهة كي يفرحوا بالجمعة. Take for them gifts, fruits, on the Friday to create a positive, good image about Friday for your children. When you talk about Friday, I know, not only Friday prayer, but also we have our dad with full hands of fruits coming to home.
And one suggestion that I would have in this regard would be, you know, we are, if, for example, you are living in a Western country and you have celebrations of Christmas and Easter and all of that, we have celebrations of the birthday of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. So instead of, you know, when it's Christmas, you see everywhere decorated and all these Christmas trees and Santa Claus bringing gifts and all of that. So instead, we can replace it with making
15th
the,
of Shaban or,
the birthday of our Ahlul Bayt remembered with our kids by providing gifts for them. Well, we've come to the end of today's program also. I hope that you enjoyed listening to it. Until next time and another episode, may the peace and blessings of Allah shower upon you all.
So whatever you do, make sure your words are true. Honesty is the best, because life is a test. Even if it hurts so much you want to cry, for the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.